I'm Debbie Dashinger. Welcome to Dare to Dream. Be inspired to live big and bold and take action to turn your dreams into your reality. Go beyond obstacles and limits of your thinking. Accelerate results to catapult yourself to success. I'm a visibility expert who gives media makeovers to clients, booking them on media interviews and turning their books into international bestsellers with guaranteed results. Join me at DebbieDashinger.com. Dare to do great things. Dare to shine. It's all about you becoming a visionary and leading the pack. Welcome to your daring new life.
Hey, hey, hey. Really great to be here with you. This is Debbie Dashinger. And I realize that I did not tell you some big news on my end. I found out recently that I passed my Italian wine certification. So, you know, I've gotten my certification in other countries. And yes, now I can add Italy to it. People always say, what are you going to do with it? I feel like I'm a little kid growing up. What are you going to be when you grow up? I don't know. I'm just following energy, period. Following energy, following passion. I love this. I'm a nerd about wine. I'm into it. And every time I learn, I find out how much I don't know. It's this huge subject. And the tests, by the way, are brutal. So I am taking this just as I can. But I got to say, now that I've accomplished this, I think American wines are next on the horizon for me. So just loving this. What's your favorite wine? What is it you love to drink? It's always interesting to talk to people. Some of them say sweet. For me, that's blah. Some of them say port. Some of them say only white and these type, and then people who really, really know wine can get into a lot of detail about places, spaces, grapes, and all of that. So, yep, loving wine, and ta-da, now I am an Italian wine certified specialist. Got my pin and my plaque. You know, a little later on, we've got Dr. Natasha Todorovic Cowan. That's a tongue twister. But she's not. Natasha is an international speaker on leadership development and organizational change. Rooted in 70 years of research and application, Dr. Natasha has more than 25 years of experience applying spiral dynamic tools and programs to reveal the root causes of people problems. She helps get to the heart of what prevents leaders, teams, and organizations from doing and being their best selves. Well, I wanted to share a story here at the beginning, and we'll have Dr. Natasha on a little later, because the first time I heard this story, I was so deeply moved. I heard the story, and then they gave me a stuffed animal that is this story, and I just was so moved because made me think about humanity, my tribe, what's possible with all of us. And so I really want to share it with you. It is a goose story. When you see geese flying in V formation, you might consider what science has discovered about why they fly that way. As each bird flaps its wings, it creates uplift for the bird immediately following. By flying in V formation, the whole flock adds at least 70% greater flying range than if each bird flew on its own. Now, when a goose falls out of formation, it feels the drag and resistance and quickly gets back into the formation. When the head goose becomes tired, it rotates back in the V and another goose flies up front. Why do they honk? Well, geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up with their speed. And additionally, when a goose gets sick or is injured and falls out of the formation, two other geese fall out with that goose and follow it down to lend help and protection. They stay with the fallen goose until it's able to fly again or until it dies. And only then do they launch out on their own or with another formation to catch up with their group. Super meaningful, I think. what is possible when we all choose to work together, when we create uplift, when if there's a point we're falling out for some reason, emotionally, physically, spiritually, or otherwise, and we're feeling the drag and resistance in ourselves or in life, that there's a formation there to back us up that helps us. And if we feel tired, we can rotate back and know that our tribe has got us, got our back, got our front, and we're taken care of. And when we're ready, we can head back up front. And definitely that we do things to encourage each other. And if anything happens to someone you love, that you're there. You're there with them and they with you to lend help and protection. So I just love that story. I find it super moving. And yes, I got a stuffed animal goose that actually honked after I heard that story. So how cool is that? Well, when we come back, Dr. Natasha is here. And here's the deal. We all hear the transformational words, be the change you want to see. And really, what does that mean? How do we implement it? Well, Dr. Natasha is an expert who's going to talk about change readiness and how to predict hurdles to change. She knows the secret formula to solving tough people problems. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Arjuna Arda, and I'm the author of the new book, Radical Brilliance. Have you ever stopped to consider why Albert Einstein came up with the general theory of relativity? Emmeline Pankhurst got the vote for women, and Steve Jobs rethought the way we understand computers and cell phones, while many of us just watch in amazement and applause on the sidelines. What is it that causes some people to have original ideas which change the world? Radical Brilliance is the answer to that question. And it presents four very different kinds of subjective experience and brainwave activity, which when they come together in a human life, radically increase your chances of being brilliant. Come visit radicalbrilliance.com, where I've prepared a free 5-day mini course that explains all of the principles of your brilliant life.
What if the world doesn't function the way we've been told? What if we truly can bend the laws of physical reality? What if we can end limitation? What if weird were the coolest thing you could be? And what if it's time for a totally different reality? Are you ready to create it? Are you ready to dream as big as you dare? Hi, my name is Dane here. 13 years ago, I started to truly ask questions. Actually, I started to be the question, and everything in my life changed for me. This is your invitation to step into something that Einstein, Marie Curie, Newton, Da Vinci, Shakespeare, Gandhi, Galileo, and Aristotle all knew to be true. It's not about the answer. It's about being the question, always. It's about truly being you, whatever that looks like, and changing this world. Is now the time? Start by signing up for a free video series at beingyouclass.com. That's beingyouclass.com. What if you are the gift and the change this world requires? beingyouclass.com.
Radio sells with immediacy. Radio sells everywhere. Radio is the cost-effective medium. Go to ads@debbiedashinger.com. Reach is nice, but frequency is better. You're always on the front page with Dare to Dream Radio. It's an award-winning program syndicated on over 60 radio stations. Advertise and sponsor the Dare to Dream Radio show for optimal advertising results. Email ads@debbiedashinger.com.
What would you say if I told you that you could change your life in only 1 hour and all while lying down relaxing? Thousands of people all over the world have. What am I talking about? It's called Access Consciousness The Bars. The Bars is an energetic body process that contains 32 different points on your head that, when run, assist you in releasing decisions about any area of your life that you have made solid and, as a result, cannot change. The Bars is the first class in Access Consciousness, a dynamic set of tools and information designed to transform any area of your life. When you have a Bars session, the worst that can happen is you feel like you had a fantastic massage. The best thing that can happen is your whole life could change. Go to accessconsciousness.com today to find a facilitator, to schedule a private session, or to find a Bars class in your area. Are you willing to give yourself an hour to change your life?
Hi, this is Debbie Dashinger. Welcome back to Dare to Dream. Dr. Natasha I promise I'm doing this at least once successfully. Dr. Natasha Todorovic-Cowan. Ta-da! Todorovic-Cowan deals with resistance to change, cultures in conflict, strategic partnerships, dysfunctional teams, incongruent leadership, and strategy implementation. Natasha's expertise includes unraveling the people side of organizational problems from C-suite to shop floor, enabling leaders to make informed change choices. Her training has been conducted in 14 countries globally. You can find out more about her at spiraldynamics.org. Hi, Natasha. My deep apologies for getting your name mashed in my mouth. I am, though, so happy to have you here. Welcome to Dare to Dream.
Thank you so much, Debbie. I'm so excited to be here with you. No problem with all those syllables. There's a lot of them.
Yeah, thank you.
I mess up my own name.
And I know having an Austrian last name, Dashinger, D-A-C-H-I-N-G-E-R, what happens? I grew up with that as well, with teachers getting it stuck in their mouth. So I feel ya. And I love this conversation because, you know, they say there's one thing you can be guaranteed of, and that's change. And I like the fact that we're also going to be talking some about dysfunction and how you can implement strategy to really help teams and companies. And I think this conversation will also be very connected to our lives. So let's start with spiral dynamics. What is it? What exactly is, because that's a word, a very interesting two words, spiral dynamics. What is it? And how does it function out in the world?
So Spiral Dynamics is our trademark, our brand name, and it covers services, it covers some assessments, and it covers some of the programs that we've been teaching around the world. And essentially, the spiral part looks at human nature, why we learn the way we learn, why we interface the way we do, why we organize however we organize, how it is we prefer to lead and be led. And the dynamics part refers to how we change or resist change and what the factors are involved in making any change effort, whether individual, team, organizational, or national, successful.
And when you work with these companies or teams, do they take a test sort of like a personality test or a company test so you start to gauge what's going on? Or for your end, is this about really sitting down with the people and having conversation and seeing what's going on?
And the answer is yes to both. Mm. So we do start with our assessments, and depending on what the issue is, you get a good read that way. It's much more objective when you're using assessments. Is it perfect? No. Is it always absolutely 100% accurate? No. But following up with in-depth one-on-one interviews and stakeholder analyses, you get to put the pieces of the puzzle together in a way that you normally wouldn't if you were just talking to people and going with your own biases. And also in those conversations, you're getting that richer read on what's happening that goes beyond what some of our tools can do. So matching them up together is kind of like walking with your left leg and your right leg. You need both.
Huh. It's cool. And it's very interesting that you're basically an expert on change. I love that. So what was the motivation for you to become an expert on change? Was there some kind of a change pattern going on in your life?
Oh, so many change patterns. So we kind of have a bit of a similar background. I come from a country that no longer exists. So my parents left the former Yugoslavia when I was about 3 years old, And we arrived in the U.S., so there was a whole culture thing in their European heritage and background, and in my adapting to American culture. And then we went to Canada, and I grew up in Canada, in Quebec. So there was an entire cultural thing going on there, and change as Quebec tried to secede from the rest of Canada. So I was in the fashion industry for a while, and NAFTA entirely wiped out my industry. And that was my dream, and I achieved my dream and had no clue that these forces beyond my control could utterly wipe out my entire future in the way I saw myself.
That is so powerful. I'm really glad you shared that. So certainly your homeland was changed very much, and your career landscape. And when I hear you talk about that, your entire career, not to your doing and not even specific to your career, but the industry where you were, gone. And it reminds me of what happened in the music industry. You know, anybody who is in the music industry in the 80s or 90s knows that some point in the 90s when Napster came out and the music execs and managers did not pay attention, they believed the digital world would go away, it ultimately destroyed the music industry. I mean, you ask anyone who makes money out there and they talk about iTunes at 99 cents and the royalties they get off of that and other things. It's a very difficult industry, not like it used to be. Same thing with publishing. They didn't pay attention to the digital world and newspapers and magazines. So this happens. This is not like a freak thing that happened to you. This happens to a lot of people. And are there people in this position who come to you for help, or is this just the pattern that was your life that helped you get to become an expert?
Well, this was the pattern in my life, and I was always fascinated with people and people patterns. So when I was a stylist merchandiser in the garment industry, my job was to look at the patterns and understand what people were going to want to buy a year and a half before they were going to want to buy it. And so I just saw these patterns. Now, mind you, like you were saying, the lumberjacks were saying, oh, this NAFTA thing, you know, it's going to be bad. Well, you know, if you're in the fashion business, you're not paying attention to the lumberjacks. But they were screaming about what these trade policies were going to do. And they were right. So when I had to recreate myself and shift careers, that was something I never expected to do. But being through changes like these was actually a lot easier, I think, on me than some of the folks that are going through this. And the thing is, Debbie, these aren't like what you're saying. They're not one-time things. That change is happening so rapidly, it is more chaotic than it's ever been. It's happening in rapid succession, and we are probably going to see these sorts of things happen multiple times in our lifetimes. So we need to be change ready, change resilient, and adaptable if we want to survive this new world that's being created right around us.
And speaking of that, with change, another element that you deal with is tough people. I love it. And God knows that happens in business, right? And you got to show up and work with these people, and you don't get a choice often. So what is the secret formula to solving a tough person problem?
Well, it's understanding where they're coming from. So we usually take two key elements. What's happening with the person? How do they see the world? What's their worldview? You know, how are they actually experiencing the world and interpreting it? Then we look at the set of forces in their lives outside of them that they're confronted with. And we look to see if there's a match. If there's a good match, then they're probably coping okay. It might be personality issues. It might be emotional. It might be stuff, you know, just miscommunication. But if there's a mismatch, then we have to go through a process of looking at how to bring congruence to the way the person is coping in their world, in their mindset, and their worldview to the way the world actually is. And a lot of us do live in bubbles.
So I know that you've got predictors, and I find that really interesting. There's something you have called cultural DNA, and it's got a change readiness indicator that predicts hurdles to change. How does that work? How does that operate in the context that you help people?
So what is super cool is that the original research was done by my husband's mentor, a guy by the name of Dr. Claire W. Graves, back in the mid to late 50s. And they were battling at that time around the issue of what is maturity. Because they figured, remember, they're coming off that, you know, horrible war, and they're figuring if we had mature people and we could figure out the secret to maturity, then we could make humans to be mature. We could train them. We could shape them. We could nurture them to be mature. And if we had mature humans, then we'd have mature society and life would be great. So he set off to figure out what this idea of maturity was about. And he was very impressed with the work Maslow did. And he, in a sense, had this mission to prove that Maslow was right. Mm-hmm. And he got into this research, and for 30 years, he was looking at this question of maturity. And what he found was that maturity wasn't that easy to define. Mm-hmm. And his subjects, his students, the people that he was researching, came up with different definitions of what maturity meant, and they fit into these different buckets. And what was fascinating about each of these buckets was that there was a unique psychology, there was a unique way of organizing, there was a unique way of learning and wanting to manage and being managed and wanting to lead and wanting to be led. And that when there was change, change inevitably went from one bucket to the next bucket or back. So there was a predictability to it. And once you understood the buckets and you understood that process of change, then you could get in there and you could be supportive or you can get in the way of it. And that's what we mean by congruence.
And I'm curious, what do you mean by buckets?
So a bucket of human nature. So that's overly simplifying a very messy thing. But if we said, well, there's this bucket of human nature where we respond to a right or a wrong way of doing things, where we idealize higher authority and expect that this higher authority is going to carry us to a new and better place. And we just put our faith and our effort and our support into that leader, everything's going to be just fine because they know what's good for us, right? So that's a bucket that organizes hierarchically around the leader. And another bucket is, if you think a little, and you know, I'm forgive me if I'm using caricatures, but it's the easiest way to explain it quickly.
Sure.
If we imagine more of a kind of a hippie approach where everybody is equal, nobody stands up above anybody else.
This is
everybody.
Millennial approach, by the way. Yes.
Actually, the data on the millennials is that there is spread out across these buckets as any other generation. But we put them in their own bucket because they're a generation that we say, well, we don't understand them. They happen to be that age. So that's the millennial bucket. But if you talk to millennials and they're talking about each other, they're complaining about the exact same things we all complain about one another.
Very interesting. I had no idea. I always, for the millennials, I've had the honor and pleasure to get to know. I've been so impressed by them, their ability to not see age, to very connecting, very curious, a lot of teamwork, a lot of we're on the same level playing ground, pretty chill, you know. I don't think they like the same job structure that we all grew up with. So it's going to be interesting to see how, knock on wood, they change the world for the better.
And that depends on which millennial, where, coming from what background, from what part of the world, from what part of the country.
Well, clearly I have been so lucky with my millennials. and I get it, right? It's like there's not all doctors are great, not all lawyers are bad, everybody's everything.
That's what makes humanity so much fun, is just these differences about how we see the world and what we react to and what we move towards positively and what we fight against and the reasons we conflict or collaborate and how do we connect and communicate in ways that actually do make the world a better place. And over the long span of time, yeah, things are getting more collaborative. Things are getting more peaceful. And that's the movement in terms of just growing, you know, human nature. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Very illuminating. Well, you're listening, folks, to Dare to Dream Radio. You can join us after the show on Facebook at Dare to Dream Radio and TV. We come back. We're going to be asking about pitfalls that sabotage a leader, their power and authority. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Hi, this is Debbie Dashinger, host of the syndicated award-winning radio and podcast show, Dare to Dream. Do you have a dream inside of you? Dare to Dream is all about making people successful in a changing world. And the mantra is dare to create your dreams into your reality. In fact, dare to live bigger than what seems possible, because you can. We're live every Wednesday at 12 Pacific time on BBS Radio. You can also listen on iTunes, Player FM, iVoox, Stitcher, Spreaker, YouTube, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn Radio. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review. As Justin Shank, our subscriber, wrote, an absolute rock star host who gets great conversation from her guests, motivation, inspiration, and insightful advice in this Do Not Miss Dare to Dream podcast. We look forward to connecting with you live every Wednesday. Dare to Dream. Hi, it's Debbie from the award-winning Dare to Dream radio and podcast, heard live every Wednesday at 12 noon. Question, do you want to be a published author? If so, you can apply to write a chapter in the new anthology book called I Am Still Here. Author spots are available to be featured in this book. Just go to debbied.net/anthology. That's debbied.net/anthology. The compilation book is going to receive global distribution and it's going to be launched to a guaranteed international bestseller. I Am Still Here anthology is seeking men and women authors. First-time writers or seasoned authors can apply. Go to debbied.net/anthology. Become a published best-selling author this year. debbied.net/anthology.
What is LinkedIn and why should you be on it? Wondering what in the world people use LinkedIn for? You will be surprised how much is available on this popular business social network. Go to www.yourconnectionsconsultant.com. Did you know that 64% of all social media traffic to websites is driven by LinkedIn? Rhonda Scher, known as the LinkedIn Diva, will explain how to double your business using LinkedIn. Don't be left out. Learn how to leverage LinkedIn today. Rhonda Scher, the LinkedIn expert, is your connection consultant at www.yourconnectionsconsultant.com.
What is forgiveness like in your life? Is there someone right now that you need to forgive? Project Forgive is changing all that, teaching you how to skillfully forgive and finally get that freedom. Go to www.projectforgive.com. It's time you freed yourself and freed your dream. You're listening to Dare to Dream.
When you walk through the world truly being you, everything and everyone is invited to change. Join Dr. Dane here in his unique classes on being you. Whether you've been asking for something greater, looking for a way to change your life, or longing to change the world, Dr. Dane's Being You classes crack open a world of ease, joy, and possibilities. For a list of Dr. Dane here's upcoming classes and resources on being you, go to www.beingyouclass.com.
If you're tuning in after we've started, this is Debbie Dashinger on Dare to Dream Radio. I'm interviewing Dr. Natasha Todorovic Cowan at spiraldynamics.org. I promise from now on it's just Dr. Natasha. So I alluded in the last segment about the leadership trap, and I really want to go there because I think leadership is an interesting conversation. So Natasha, I'm curious, what are the pitfalls that sabotage a leader's power and authority?
Well, there are quite a few of them, and one of the things that we talk about is congruent leadership. And so a leader leads from their natural place of their psychology, the way they learn to lead, and they don't question their own approach because that's the way it's always been done. And it's just habit. And sometimes it's incongruent with the groups that they're leading. And that means that the leader needs to shift or change. And that takes a very forward-thinking, very enlightened leader to sit back and go, you know what, I'm willing to confront this, look it straight in the eye, and figure out how I need to shift or adapt my approach. And so doing it the way the leaders that you've learned from have done it, and it not matching, ends up being a trap. Now, if you keep doing it the way you've always done it and it matches, then it isn't a trap. So it's contextual.
And what about the science behind leading? Is there a science there?
Yeah, there is. We talk about a notion called open, arrested, or closed. And if I am, so we talked about our buckets. So let's say my bucket is a steel bucket and it's got a steel lid, and that's the way I see the world, and there's no way I'm going to move. Then I need to be led in a way where you get into my bucket, you are part of my paint, you look the same way I do, you talk the same way I do, and then we'll get along and I'll accept you as my leader. And that's our kind of closed approach. And a more open approach is I'm kind of hanging out in this bucket, but if needed, I can jump out. So you, to be a congruent leader for me, would be kind of outside the bucket going, come on, Natasha, this way. This is the way we want to go. And I'll tentatively put one foot out and maybe the next foot out. But that's more open. I'm able to get out of that bucket. So that means leadership goes a half step ahead if I'm open, or within the same bucket if I'm closed. And then, of course, there's this whole piece around how do we have congruent leadership within each of the buckets? Is it command and control? Is it reward? Is it recognition? Is it relationship? Is it the power of my peers? Is it the power of me deciding what I want to do? Please don't bother me with your nonsense, right? So once we figure that out, then we know what leadership style to use that fits, that'll be congruent for that person, and also that group or that team or that department.
There's a quote from Socrates, which is, the secret of change is to focus all of your energy not on fighting the old, but on building the new. Do you agree?
Well, I'm a very contextual, it depends kind of an answerer. So I like to look at these quotes and figure out what was the context of the quote. So one leader I was working with had a problem with one of her team members, and she was very much of the new. So she wanted input. She wanted consensus. She wanted to know what her employee thought. and what was happening in her employee's life and what input the employee had. Well, that particular employee was looking at her leader as weak because she thought a good leader would just tell her what to do. Don't ask her input. Don't bother me with that nonsense. Just tell me what you want and let me get to it. Right. So one would think that that was the old way and the leaders was the new way. But the point of that was once we addressed the incongruence between their preferred approaches, that newer way was adapting to what each person needed to make this relationship work and to get the work done.
Makes sense, because the language, so to speak, of leadership and working under a leader, there has to be good communication, good relationship. So to meet each other, I'm sure there's also a lot of growth there to, you know, find new qualities in oneself in order to make that relationship work.
Absolutely. And one of the interesting things that we've found in our research is this thing, people look at me as if I have two heads, but people are people blind. And we're not always able to get out of our own perceptions and our own biases and our own ways of seeing the world to see the world as someone else does. And if we can't do that and we don't work on getting to that place where the other person feels like they're seen and heard and understood, and we've got agreement as to what this relationship is going to look like, then as a leader, you're going to be frustrated. And as a, quote, follower or employee, you're going to be frustrated. And that explains some of the huge problems with engagement and change and implementation of strategy and the ability to adapt quickly when change happens to us. Very deeply.
Yes, totally. And, you know, this definitely is also reflected what you're talking about in a corporation setting. This is so also for people's lives, because we're always told like platitudes, you know, let go and let God, go with the flow, be like a river, you know, surrender. And yet it is so difficult for most people. So how, in your expertise, how can people get out of the way when it comes to change?
Well, I think it depends on the change and it depends on the person. So one of the things I will do is if something is shifting around me, I sit back and I go, all right, where is it I am clenching? Where is it I might be resisting? And I lean into that to understand where I'm coming from, because that'll tell me how I'm perceiving it. Once I can get myself out of the way, and the more quickly you learn how to do this, the faster it happens. It can happen in a split second, but the more quickly I can get myself out of the way, the more quickly I can lean into what's happening for the other person or between other folks or in the environment, and figure out what it is that's changing and how I might need to adapt or how I might be more supportive towards others who are trying to make those adaptations.
Okay, so conversely then, are there ways that people can handle change that as actually have great ease and success? How can we handle change well?
Well, I think one of the issues with change is when we hear it, it's like the whole water cooler conversation. Everybody stands at the water cooler going, okay, this is what's going to happen. These horrible, terrible things, the very worst things that are like their goblins and their gremlins all come up, and that's what they associate to change. So one of the first things we could do is pay attention to the way we tell ourselves stories about change and don't make those stories truths. Because sometimes we buy into the stories so much, we're expecting that to happen, and then we're not ready when something entirely different happens. And so it's start playing with the spectrum of what's possible. Okay, this is what you might be totally petrified about. What would it look like if it was amazing and it was better than you ever expected? Mm-hmm. And then look for the gradations between that and just kind of brainstorm. What might it look like? You know, there's scenario A and scenario B and scenario C. What do we have to do to prepare for these likely scenarios? Let's rate them in terms of more or less likely. And as you were talking about the geese flying together, well, work together as geese to lift one another up to see things differently so that we can kind of peek over that wall of change that's coming.
Oh, so powerful. I love that. And it's so true. Instead of going out into an imagined future of catastrophe, chaos, and trauma, which many people do because it's the reaction is very fear-based and very, I must protect myself. And here's the worst that could happen, so I'm prepared. But, you know, it becomes almost a reality to them that they're responding to and has not even happened.
Yeah, so, you got it. Tomorrow is going to look like yesterday. Well, tomorrow never looks like yesterday.
Exactly. So beautiful, beautiful advice. Powerful, I think. And let's all stay in today and right now. I'm really curious also, because I know in your line of work and its uniqueness, you talk about a potential connection to the impact of environment and genetics. So talk about that, Natasha. What is that? Is there a connection, impact of environment and genetics?
So that's the spiral portion of spiral dynamics. So what we call the double helix is the interaction between the world out there and the individual's chemical, biological, neurological kind of soup, right? So it's the way pearls are created in oysters. It's that push-pull tension between the inner world of the individual and the outer world of that individual and their social system. So for a really powerful example is, and I don't know if you've heard of this, the Dutch hunger winter, mm-hmm. where during World War II, probably, I think it was over 4 million of Dutch in the Netherlands starved. They were in probably under a 500 calorie a day diet. And what happened was the next generation had diabetes and heart disease and issues with obesity, as did the grandchildren of those folks. So it's like that environment not only impacts us today, but our lives today are impacted by environments that we can't even imagine that our parents and their parents and their parents' parents have had to confront.
Yeah. Thank you for addressing that. I understand intimately. I am second generation of Holocaust survivors. So my father was a hidden child. His father died in a by gas in a concentration camp. And at 5 years old, my father had to go into orphanages. And the Catholic nuns were amazing in saving Jewish children. And the horrors of what he lived through. It's, you know, it's like a movie. It's so unbelievable. And I know for a fact that there are genetic components that come up out of me that are not indigenous to me. Yeah. I wasn't born into it. There's no reason for my particular experience. And yet there are responses and reactions. And I've been aware of them and working mindfully with healers and, you know, other different ways, modalities to get through this, because that's not a great genetic experience to have, always running, right? Changing identity, never fitting in, you know, being terrified and having to disconnect from who you are and yet loving how you were born that way. So I really understand, and I love the example you gave about even physically the changes that took place in people because of what their predecessors had gone through.
Yeah, increases in schizophrenia, for example, because your relatives starved. And then as a schizophrenic, you have kids, and then you've got this entire generation now who's trying to deal with stuff. And you're sitting there going, wait, is this me? Is this somebody else? Particularly if you're empathetic, then it's like, is this somebody else? Is this somebody around me? Or is this something historical? It's so confusing.
Absolutely. And what an amazing component to what you do. It seems to me very holistic what you offer as an expert and how you help people in these companies. Well, we're going to take a break. You can subscribe to Dare to Dream. We're on iTunes, Spreaker, YouTube, here on BBS, and more, Stitcher. Leave us a review. We're looking for a 5-star review. I do get emails from people all the time about how you're enjoying the show. Just trust me, your 1 second of 5 stars in review counts. So when we come back in the final segment, we're going to be finding out from Natasha, what does she dare to dream next? And what kind of ritual or practice she uses daily to keep herself grounded? Stay right there. We'll be right back.
Hi, it's Debbie Dashinger from the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast, heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific time. You're invited to receive a visibility strategy session to move your business forward. The session is going to help you get clear on what's holding you back, uncover how to better reach your clients. Send your interest application to this email, daretodreamradio@gmail.com. If you feel like Moses, wandering around the entrepreneurial desert, imagine how helpful it will be to have a 45-minute call with a visibility media expert. Ready to get clear? Ready to get direction for books, web presence, bestsellers, media, and interviews? Book your visibility strategy session today. Email daretodreamradio@gmail.com and put the words visibility strategy session in the subject.
When making the decision to hire a coach, find a pro who delivers. Debbie Dashinger is an expert with an impressive platform that gets results. Let go of issues and shift your life into brilliance. Go to www.debbiedashinger.com. That's DACHINGER, debbiedashinger.com. Debbie believes that we are each meant to shine our light and fulfill our unique path. Hire a coach who delivers. www.debbiedashinger.com. Have a dream but not clear how to manifest it? Feel like the rest of the world was given the secret to achieving their dreams except for you? This acclaimed book, Wisdom to Success, The Surefire Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, was written for you. Author Debbie Dashinger received the Inspiration Book of the Year Award and Critics Pick from U.S. Book Review and Writer's Digest for Wisdom to Success. It's a life-changing read, available at Amazon.
Hi, my name is Arjuna Arda, and I'm the author of the new book, Radical Brilliance. Have you ever stopped to consider why Albert Einstein came up with the general theory of relativity? Emmeline Pankhurst got the vote for women, and Steve Jobs rethought the way we understand computers and cell phones, while many of us just watch in amazement and applause on the sidelines. What is it that causes some people to have original ideas which change the world? Radical Brilliance is the answer to that question, and it presents 4 very different kinds of subjective experience and brainwave activity which, when they come together in a human life, radically increase your chances of being brilliant. Come visit radicalbrilliance.com, where I've prepared a free 5-day mini course that explains all of the principles of your brilliant life.
When you walk through the world truly being you, everything and everyone is invited to change. Join Dr. Dane here in his unique classes on being you. Whether you've been asking for something greater, looking for a way to change your life, or longing to change the world, Dr. Dane's Being You classes crack open a world of ease, joy, and possibilities. For a list of Dr. Dane here's upcoming classes and resources on being you, go to www.beingyouclass.com.
Hi, this is Debbie Dashinger, Dare to Dream Radio. I'm interviewing Dr. Natasha. She's CEO of the National Value Center Consulting and owner of Spiral Dynamics at spiraldynamics.org. So, Natasha, I want to start with this. This is Dare to Dream, after all. So what do you next dare to dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
So as we were going around the world doing our training and our consulting and working with our assessments, one of the things that kept coming back was how people felt unseen in organizations. They'd come in very excited, waiting to contribute 100% of their potential, and then they'd end up contributing maybe 30 or 40% of what they were capable of and putting their efforts elsewhere. And that's roughly what the engagement numbers are showing. So I'm dreaming about building a new way of doing work in the work world where not only can we optimize our 100%, but work at 110% to become the people that we didn't even know we could become.
It's an inclusive dream. I love it. And for people who are interested, how, where can they connect with you?
If they go to www.spiraldynamics.org, we've got all kinds of materials. We've got some books, and they can just ping me at Natasha@spiraldynamics.org.
Nice. So I alluded to finding out more about you behind the scenes, because I'm very curious. When you do this level of work, it seems to me you must have consciousness. You must have awareness. And if you're able to do it as an expert out in the world, and certainly with your background of the pattern of all that change, so what do you do today, Natasha? What kind of ritual do you employ that works for you, or daily practice that really keeps you peaceful and grounded?
Well, probably a few things. I go to yoga regularly. So vinyasa, kundalini, doesn't matter. I really like my yoga and I love my Lululemon.
It's great. I'm sure you look amazing in it.
And then the other piece is just having awareness as much as is humanly possible of what's happening within me and around me and between us, whoever the us is. So it's an awareness of, and trying to increasingly build that awareness of the human systems of which we are a part.
Okay. And with everything you shared earlier, how people can get out of the way when change is a coming, how they can best handle it by being right here and letting go of those imaginations that probably won't even happen. I am curious if you can give a corporate example. Basically, a company that brought you in, you observed, did the assessments going in, how you worked with them to resolve their issue, and what the company or team is like now.
There are a few. So one of the ways that we've worked is we'll do the assessments, and then depending on the level of the engagement, we'll sit with individuals and run through what their approach to the work and the world and one another in their teams might be. Sometimes we'll run through and we'll do a team building process so people could see where it is that they are in conflict or how they're seeing the work that doesn't align with what the organization wants to do. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It's sometimes difficult to break the habit of being ourselves. But in that habit, sometimes we just stick to what it is that feels comfortable and familiar. And when we have to change, we have to become comfortable with not being ourselves. of leaning into being the next new person that's waiting to emerge. And it's kind of like wearing a pair of shoes that's always been your, you know, comfy old favorites, not realizing that they've broken down. And then you get a new pair and it's like, wow, why didn't I do this before?
That's lovely. So I think I'll end with a quote from Alan Watts, which is, the only way to make sense out of change is to plunge into it, move with it, and join the dance.
That's beautiful.
Alan Watts. Natasha, thank you so much for coming on Dare to Dream and sharing your brilliance.
Debbie, it's been fantastic. I've enjoyed it tremendously. And big hugs to you. Really appreciate you, the vibe, and Doug, and your whole team.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Well, folks, next week on Dare to Dream, I am featuring Gunther Mueller. He's a physician's liaison who educates physicians and people on how to age healthier and live happier through hormone balance and many other things. I'm telling you, I met this guy at a workshop and he is changing my life. So he's going to come on and talk about cutting edge things you have not heard about anywhere else. Folks, be sure to subscribe to my podcast channel so you receive it first as it comes out. Also, subscribe to my inspirational YouTube videos at youtube.com/DebOnTheRadio. And remember, the secret of success is having the courage to begin in the first place.
To contact the award-winning syndicated Dare to Dream radio show, go to debbiedashinger.com. Keep your excellent feedback and comments coming. Your host, Debbie Dashinger, is an expert at goal achievement, a media personality, an international best-selling author, and a keynote speaker. Debbie leads high-quality teleseminars on how to achieve goals, how to be a self-published best-selling author, and how to get booked on radio. All classes are at debbiedashinger.com. Debbie's best-selling books are Dare to Dream, This Life Counts, sold on Amazon, and her second book, Wisdom to Success, The Secrets to Accomplish All Your Dreams, sold online at all bookstores. Tune in again to hear the next inspiring interview guest who has turned their vision into a successful reality. Want more support in making your dreams come true? Go to debbiedashinger.com. That's www.debbiedashinger.com. You'll see videos, MP3s, archived interviews, and amazing products sharing the secret steps to making your dreams come true. Remember to dream big with every expectation that your dream will become real. Dreams are free, so free your dreams. What do you dare to dream?
Here I'm standing now, waiting for my time to be all that I can be. Easy to forget, life is in my hands, and I can change.